Lord, we do just come before you this morning and thank you for your word. We thank you that we have your word in our language, that we can read it and understand it. But Lord, help us to understand it in your eyes this morning. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Our country is 20 odd years into democracy. Yet we still have huge barriers in our country. Racial tension. Every couple of years we have huge issues with xenophobia. There's massive economic separation. There are language barriers. There are even religious barriers and beliefs that are different. These are the things that make up our society here in South Africa and even within our own town. And more often than not, we feel very uncomfortable with those who are different from us. Perhaps we ignore them. Perhaps we despise those who have more than us. Maybe we get really upset by the way that different people dress. And so we want nothing to do with, for example, those group of bikers that ride around. Or with that person who is covered with tattoos and body piercings. Perhaps we turn our noses up when someone different comes into our church. Someone who is perhaps older than us, or younger than us, or richer than us, or poorer than us, or has a different skin color to us. Or smells differently to us, and that is no reflection on those who've had no water this week. But I think each of us sitting here today has some form of barrier or standard that we expect all other people to meet before we will engage with them in conversation. In this section that Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul says that in God's new society, all people from every tribe, from every nation, in fact, we could go so far as to say from every economic group, is part of God's nation, or will be, or can be, part of God's nation. Isaiah the prophet said many years previously in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, he said, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation, and Isaiah says, to the ends of the earth. This morning I've entitled our sermons, Salvation for All. Paul has been speaking to us about all the blessings that we have in Christ. Remember chapter 1, as Paul encouraged us to be thankful to God for everything that God has done for us. And last week in chapter 2, we realized that God was inviting all of us to come and be part of this ultimate society. But Paul brings us back to reality. And my first comment this morning is Paul tells us about a divided humanity. Look at verse 11. And Paul says, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. Now before we look at all that is going on here, let's just have a look at what Paul is meaning when he speaks of the idea of the Gentile, of those who were uncircumcised before, or who are called the uncircumcised. Paul is actually speaking about every person who is not a Jew. Now, as far as I'm aware, there's no one sitting here this morning who is a Jew. Maybe you've got some Jewish blood in your distant past, but no one who is sitting here today who could say, I'm Jewish. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you are. But this is what Paul is saying to here. He's saying to us that all of us who are sitting here are not Jewish people, and we would have been referred to by the Jews as those who are, and this would have been quite derogatory, those who are uncircumcised. Paul is saying that once we never knew who Jesus was because we were not Jews. And Paul tells us, and he says, there's actually five things that he says we were before we came to know Christ. Verse 12, he says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. There's the first one. Secondly, he says, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel. And thirdly, and foreigners of the covenants of the promise. And then he says, without hope, and fifthly, without God in the world. Paul says that's what you and I were like before Christ came onto the scene, before we knew Christ. Paul says that if we were still treated like Gentiles by the Jewish nation, then we would not know about Jesus Christ. We would not know the hope that he brings. We would not know who God was. We would be separated. We would be excluded. We would be foreigners without hope and without God. You see the picture that Paul is painting for us here. I remember when Helen and I were overseas 3-4 years ago now in the UK. It was interesting. We obviously loved the area. We enjoyed sightseeing. But on more than one occasion, people would come up to us and say, you've got a strange accent. Where are you from? And I would go, no, I haven't got an accent. You guys have got the accent. You see, because we were seen as foreigners. We were not part of the culture in the UK. We were excluded in many aspects. And that's what Paul is saying of us here. As Gentiles, we were actually the foreigners, the guys with the funny accents, the guys who would know nothing about the culture, or in this case, would know nothing about God. And Paul is saying that's what we were like before we became a Christian. In one sense, that is what the world is like now, isn't it? Without true hope, although they have a false hope wrapped up in some other religion. Without a true God, although many people will worship something they think is a God. They've been excluded from the promises and the covenants that have been made. They've been excluded from God's kingdom. Paul says that we are a divided humanity. But there is good news. In Christ, there is an ending of this division. My second comment, the ending of division. Notice the small linking words that begin here in chapter 2 and verse 13. But now. In other words, that is what things were like. But now, here's something new, here's something different. And Paul continues verse 13. In Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Once we were not part of God's kingdom, but now through Jesus, you and I are sitting here. Do you see that? Once we were separated from God, but now through the blood, we have been brought near. And the key is that it is not through our own programs or our own abilities that we are brought near to God, but through Jesus Christ Himself. Verse 14 tells us, "For He Himself," that is reference to Christ, "is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations." In this passage is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ working so that the two might be made at peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. The two that Paul is referring to here, well, the Jewish people and the Gentiles, the uncircumcised that we spoke about in verse 11. Those two groups of people who were actually enemies with each other, Paul is saying, God has broken down the dividing wall and He has made the two one. Of course, the question remains, how has He done this? Jesus made them one by destroying the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. If you were a Gentile in Bible time, you could be punished by death if you entered into the main part of the temple of God. Even if you knew who God was, even if you knew what God had done, you were not allowed as a Gentile to enter into the main court in the temple. Sure, there was a court around that temple for Gentiles, but you could not go into the main temple court and live. Yet Paul says to us here that it is through the Jews, through Jesus Himself, that salvation has come, that the required sacrifice has been given for the Gentile people, for us. That barrier that was separating us from God and separating us from one another has been destroyed because God gives forgiveness to all people, not just to one or two select groups of people. And as Paul says, this is made possible in verse 15, because Jesus, through His death on the cross, abolished the law with its commandments and its regulations. Now, don't get Paul wrong here. Paul says, he's not saying that Jesus has now nullified or done away with the Ten Commandments, and therefore we as Christians can live like we want with no regard for any laws because, Jesus died for me on the cross. That is not what Paul is saying. But what Paul is saying is that the law required a certain amount of holiness. In fact, not just a certain amount. The law required complete and utter obedience to it. And that's resulted in Jesus fulfilling that for us. What Paul is really saying is that Jesus has completed the law. He has fulfilled the requirements of the law by doing away with ceremonies and rituals that the Jews needed to access God. So as Gentiles, we no longer approach God through the sacrifice given through a priest. We no longer need to wait for one day in a year where the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies and ask for our forgiveness. Rather, through Jesus, we can approach God directly, because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice and the high priest. Paul says that unless Jesus fulfilled the requirements of the law, and unless He offered Himself up as a perfect sacrifice, you and I would still be separated from God. We have a good number of friends who have immigrated overseas. And many of them have taken it upon themselves to become, people of the country, members of the country, citizens, that's the word. But in order to become a citizen of the country, one have to be in the country, and it varies from country to country, but often for a period of about 5 years. Then, not only do they have to live in that country for a period of time, but they have to then go and write a test. Certain countries, you have to write an entrance test in order that you might know the history of the country so that you might become a citizen. And then you become a permanent resident. And then only after another period of time do you become a citizen. But Paul is saying that Jesus has done all of that for us so that we might be with God. We don't have to come to church for a period of 5 years and then write an entrance exam and then become a permanent resident and then only become a citizen of the church. Christ has dealt with all of that so that you and I are instant members of God's family. No wonder that Paul can say in verse 15 that Jesus made peace. And again in verse 17 that peace is preached both near and far. Because this is not a peace like the UN understands peace. This is a peace with God himself. Verse 14, for he, that is Jesus, is our peace. Jesus being the peace means Jesus is our salvation. I suppose we could put that another way and say that we could say that Jesus is the one who rescues us from the wrath of God and makes us friends with God. Peace. So Jesus is our salvation, who has given salvation to all nations, and his salvation is preached to those who are near and to those who are far. Does that make sense? Peace in this context is far more than just world bliss and people living happily together. Peace, in the Bible especially, is largely peace with God, which is only possible through Jesus. Verse 18 tells us, for through him, that is Jesus, we both, that is both the Jew and the Gentile, have access to the Father by one Spirit. But note, it is only through Jesus. Only those who turn to Jesus, both Jew or Gentile, who receive peace with God. And this brings me into my final point this morning. A single humanity. Paul reminds us that once we were separated from God, excluded from God's kingdom. But through Christ, the barriers have been broken down, and now we, as Gentiles, are part of God's bigger community. Notice Paul's choice words in the closing section of chapter 2 in verse 19. Consequently, Paul says, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. Once we were foreigners, now we are fellow citizens. Once we were excluded, now we are in the VIP section. Once we were separated and discarded, but now we are being built into the church of God. Once we were without hope, without God, but now We are with God. We have hope. We have His promises. We have His covenant. And together, both the nation of Israel that accept Jesus and the rest of the nations that accept Jesus are being built together to make up God's temple, to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Just two thoughts then as we wrap things up. Can you and I call ourselves fellow citizens and members of God's church? In other words, have you and I accepted what Jesus has done for us on the cross? Friends, if you haven't, then make sure that you stop living without hope. Stop trying to find your hope in politics or in crime prevention or in other things. And find your hope in God. And make peace with God by turning to Jesus and accepting the peace or salvation that He offers. My second comment is for those of us who have accepted Jesus. If Jesus has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between Himself and the world, then how dare we erect barriers and create rules and regulations that stop people coming to Christ? How dare we exclude people from God's kingdom by not telling them the truth? How dare we tell people that they have to dress in a certain way, or behave in a certain manner, or come from a certain economic group or race group, before we will share the truth of Jesus with them? Jesus, friends, has broken down all barriers. Sure, we might not get on with everybody, but that does not excuse us from sharing the gospel with them. Jesus died for all people. He's joined together Jews and Gentiles who were enemies under His Son Jesus. So friends, if we claim to follow Jesus, then let's not erect other barriers that prevent people from coming to God. Someone once said that it's harder to become a member of a church than it is to be accepted by Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because sometimes as human beings we erect all sorts of artificial barriers to prevent people we don't like coming to know Jesus. Friends, we will be judged harshly one day if that is us. So let's go home and think about the barriers that you and I have put up. What regulations we expect people to meet before we will share the gospel with them. Remember who you and I were before Jesus found us. And go out and share God's word with all. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do come before You this morning and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for showing us in Your word that You have broken down all barriers and You allow all people to come into Your presence. Lord, please help us, forgive us for the times that we set up our own barriers. Forgive us for the times, Lord, where we exclude people from Your kingdom because we don't like them. But Lord, help us to remember what we were before You came into our life. That we were excluded from You. That we were not citizens of God's kingdom. And Lord, help us to share Your word. In Your name. Amen.